What's up, Chicago? Guess what? It is Monday, August the 22nd, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have an outstanding show for you today. That's right. It's Missional Monday, and today's conversation should be good. We're going to talk about it. That's right. Today's conversation, missions doesn't have to be extraordinary. Missions don't have to be extraordinary. They don't have to be. So we're going to talk about it, because sometimes, you know what, we probably shoot a little bit too far and try to make things too big when they don't have to be. So look, y'all, that's going to be our show. We're going to jump right into it. Let me get some stuff set up over here like I need to, because y'all know I was running this morning. Let me get some stuff set up the way I need to, and we'll be right back. TT, LO, they left. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. We are back. Taking the Limits Radio off. Radio off. I don't know how to talk. Taking the Limits off radio. We are back. We are back. As I stated, man, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King. And look, check this out. Let me give y'all a rundown real quick. Thank you so much for listening. Give you the rundown real quick on how you can contact the show. If you're already listening on the phone, meaning you've already dialed in, simply push 1. And you can be a part of the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, real simple. Simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you're on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you are on Twitter, if you want to tweet the show, it's real simple. You can tweet the show. That's at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the radio show at TTLO Radio. We'd love to have you there as well. Email, if you want to email the show, real simple. Email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. You can definitely do that. We'd love to read that email over the air. If you want to watch the live stream of the show, guess what? Everything is up and running. Facebook Live, up and running. Simply go to that same page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us right there. The live stream should be up and running. I'm going to check it real quick just to make sure I ain't crazy. Yep, there it is. The live stream for that is up and running. Ustream, for those of you who have Ustream capabilities, you're on your phone, Ustream, you download the app, go to ustream.tv, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you'll find us there as well. And last but not least, you can email, download the podcast of every episode of Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon simply by going to the podcast section in your iTunes account. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there as well. Man, everything is wonderful. Look, man, how was you guys' weekend? How was your weekend? Man, it seems like it was short, and I can't even explain why it seems like it was short. But it just never end. It seems like it just came and went. It came and went with the quickness, man. So, man, it's good to start. What's up, George? Jody Beatty, I see you watching, man. What's up, man? Staying on the wall for you, bro. Staying on the wall for you. Appreciate you watching, man. But man, there's so much stuff happening, you know, over the weekend, man. Look, I want to say this real quick to the real quick Kingdom Baptist Church. We celebrated our annual Women's Day yesterday, and you know what? The service itself was good. The service itself was good. That I want to send a shout out real quick to Marcy Stores Wilson. Marcy Stores Wilson. She did the thing yesterday. She preached, man, the topic of her sermon was, if it ain't broke, break it. If it ain't broke, break it. She preached that thing on yesterday. Man, I mean, she put, let me tell y'all something. There's nothing like good preaching. And I don't care if male or female. I don't discriminate when it comes to good preaching. This woman, she broke down real quick. She had an opening. She gave you a lot of substance in the middle, and then she closed that thing out. She preached, man. She preached. And if you missed it, it's one of those things where, you know, I will be glad when my church gets the live streaming capability. Because that's something that could have been shared. So once again, big shout out to Marcy Stores Wilson. She preached that thing, man. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. So it was good. Good time. Good time. Good time ahead of all. I heard good stuff from everybody from those who were in attendance, and it was good. It was good. So it was just good to be. It was just good to be a part of it. And to witness it. So, man, good, big shout out to her and her church family, actually. So big shout out to them. Let me get the name and make sure I get the name of her church. She is at, let's see here. Here we go. She is at, I had the name of the church right in front of me, and now I can't find it. Oh, wait, there it is. It's right there. Nope, that ain't it. Guess I thought I had it up, and I don't have it. It disappeared. So, Tanya, find me the name of the church, please. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. But the name, man. She just did an awesome job, and I was glad to be there, for that service. So hey, guess what? Friday night, not Friday night. Last night, rather. Were the closing ceremonies for the Olympics. And, okay, Temple of Glory International Church. Thank you. Temple of Glory International Church is the name of her church. So, man, again, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It was just good to be a part of that. But as I was saying, last night the Olympics, they had the closing ceremonies last night, and I didn't get to see a lot of it. I did watch a lot of it this morning, however, on video or whatever. And, man, I am excited. Let me tell y'all about the little kid. You know, I'm like a little kid when it comes to certain stuff. So, you know, Japan, Tokyo, is hosting the Summer Games in 2020. So at the end, they had the Prime Minister of Japan was on the screen. And towards the end, he transformed into like one of the Nintendo, like Mario Brothers characters on the screen. Because, you know, Japan, Nintendo, all that stuff is made on. So he literally like transformed on the screen. It was like the coolest thing ever. I mean, it really was. It was really cool. Y'all know I'm geeking out about it, but it really was. It was cool to see. Just, man, I was like, wow, that was really cool. So. To see Simone Biles carrying the Olympic flag out of the stadium as everybody marched out with her four gold, with her was it four gold medals or five? She has five gold medals and one bronze, or four and one. I can't remember, but to see her walking out with her medals, we didn't give any love to the female boxer who won gold medal. And is a two-time gold medalist. I believe she's the first time two-time gold medalist. And it was like, whoa, like, man, we didn't even like give her no love. Let me get her name real quick, because she was amazing. Last night, I knew that we had a female boxer who was boxing, but I did not know. I guess I just kind of lost track of it because I got caught up in everything else. I really didn't even realize that we had a female boxer who was doing all the great things. But she actually is a now two-time gold medal winner in boxing. That's just like, man, that's huge. Because, you know, normally you don't go to the Olympics twice for boxing, especially, you know, mostly with men. After you've done the Olympic, you know, circuit, you know, you go and you turn pro, and then you go and you start trying to fight for money. But in this case, she was, man, it was like just I wasn't ready. Her name is Shields. There we go. I got it. Clarissa Shields. On her second gold medal, she says, "I worked hard to be here, man." And if you ain't seen that, now I watched some clips of the fight this morning. Let me tell y'all something. Sister girl ain't to be played with, and she ain't. And I'm gonna say this real quick, and I don't mean to sound what's the word I'm looking for? I don't mean to sound chauvinistic or whatever, or to degrade. But she fight like a dude. I am serious, man. She fights like a dude. Y'all need to recognize. I mean, she gives no quarter, nothing. I mean, she is straightforward and throwing haymakers. I was like, oh my God. I was mad at myself for not watching the fight when she was actually fighting. I'm like, because I would have been hollering. She was throwing. So y'all need to check her out. Clarissa Shields is her name, Clarissa. Y'all know Clarice, like Clarice from the what's the movie? With the Hannibal Lecter movie, Silence of the Lambs. Clarice. Yeah, but Clarissa ain't no punk. Clarissa is not to be messed with. I'm just trying to tell you, she ready. I can't wait to see. I know women's boxing is, you know, still going around right now, but I can't wait to see her on Showtime or HBO so she can start getting the check. Because after when you fight like that, if that's what you do, you need a check. And I'm all about folks getting a check. And, yeah, she was serious. Serious. So check it out, man. Check it out. It wasn't even like no type of competition. She just ran through everybody. So, man, shout out to her. There was this picture that's floating around on Facebook from the women's 400-meter the 4x100 meter relay race. And it's an amazing picture because it says like black girls rock, because they had all three podiums, the bronze, silver, and the gold. And it's black women. You had black women from Canada, the black women from Jamaica, and the black women from the USA. Just every podium. It's like sisters. And I'm like, wow. That it's like powerful. It's actually a powerful picture if you see it, just to see those sisters up there, and it's like, and they're from everywhere, and that's good stuff, man. That's really, really good stuff. So I was just excited to see everything that transpired. And of course the men's basketball team, they did win yesterday. They won gold, which is, I don't think anybody really doubted whether or not they would win. But they won gold yesterday, and it's good. I'm excited for them, you know. So Carmelo Anthony was kind of he was a little hyped up, you know, about winning, and he had a couple tears, like he wanted to cry a little bit about winning. But I'm just reading these Facebook comments. Angela Johnson, do not comment on my post no more. I'm going to ban you from the post. I am promising you I'm going to ban you. She's going to put on here, she looks a bit hard. Hey, she ain't to be, what's the word, trifled? She ain't to be trifled with. Man, you think twice before you say something smart to Clarissa. I'm going to say that real quick. If you're going to talk mess to Clarissa, you better know how to stick and move. I'm just going to tell you like this. You need to put on the whole armor of God. What they call it? The helmet of salvation. You better have on the helmet of salvation if you're going to raise your voice. if you're going to raise your voice to Clarissa, you better have on the helmet of salvation, because she ain't no punk in the ring. Y'all, man, watch the video. Just go, and if you got Comcast, you can just click on it. Get the Comcast app and click on Olympics and click boxing highlights and just click on Clarissa, and you will see Clarissa putting in work. I mean, Sister Girl was like, I mean, whew. Man, I would pay some money to see her. I would pay some money to see her, Angela Johnson. You're going to be banned from the post talking about some she look a bit hot. I bet you won't tell her to her face she look a bit hot. I bet you that. I bet you won't do that. So, but yeah, so it's just, again, shout out to them for the great work, and to the whole U.S. squad. To everybody on the USA, on Team USA, except for what's the brother, man, who got himself in trouble? Ryan Lotke. We're just gonna put that name out there. I know you from the hood, Angela. I understand that. I'm just trying to told you. Look, bro, trying to look out for you. Whatever you gonna say, say it from a distance. I'm just trying to tell you. Don't talk crazy to Clarissa. Because Clarissa puts in work. You're going to have to be ready. But shout out to them, except for Ryan Lotke, who's now on his apology tour. Y'all know all about these apology tours, right? These apology tours. If you've ever been a part of an apology tour, and I ain't talking about necessarily use the one that was doing the apologizing, but you've ever been on the end of one of these people's apology tour. So Ryan Lotke is on the on this apology tour right now, where he's been on, like, every time he was on, he sat down with Matt Lauer on NBC. Yesterday he was on ABC, and then he'll probably be on with somebody else. So now he's going around apologizing for his exaggeration. That's what he's calling it now. He's calling it over-exaggeration. Let me ask a question. Is the word lie just not allowed to be said on TV? I mean, seriously. Is the word lie just not, is it, does it just sound too harsh? Is that why we don't say it? It's either, because, you know, in politics, it's I misspoke. That's what it is. It's in politics, I misspoke. But now it's, the new thing is I over-exaggerated. So exaggerating is one thing, right? You exaggerate. So it's like when I played football, right? When I played football my rookie year, right, you couldn't say it in the house. Right, we couldn't say lie. Lie was a cuss word. I understand that. You're right. It was a curse word. It was an equivalent of a full-fledged curse word. You could not say you lying. You had to say you telling a story. Because I don't think, did black folks use the word fib? Y'all didn't use that, did we? The word fib. I don't remember using the word fib. I remember just, you know, it was like, she telling the story on me. He telling the story on me. We never could say he lying. Because when you said you a lie, you sounded grown. You felt some kind of way, because it felt strong when you say you a lie. You know, remember like that dude? I give you a prime example. Remember how that guy stood up during the President's State of the Union address that one year? And that dude, that senator, congressman, whatever he was, he stood up in the middle of the speech going to holler out, you lie. Remember that? Y'all remember that? Y'all know y'all remember that. He stood up, made that comment, and it was like, really? You wouldn't do that to nobody else. And you're going to say, you lie. I mean, holler out this comment at our president. Like he was just some old common Negro off the corner. You lie. So my question is, the word exaggerate means to just kind of stretch the truth, right? So like I was saying, when I played semi-pro football, right? The only thing I never got to do was score a touchdown. I played on defense, so I didn't really, you know, I wasn't getting the ball. So I was on defense. But I had, like, I think my thing says 8 or 9 interceptions my rookie year, right? And I never got to take one back to the end zone. So, you know, as you get older, you know, you start, you know, you exaggerate. So that 9 interceptions, you know, it goes to like, you know, I had 12. And then, you know, when he, you know, if people ask, well, how many touchdowns did you go? You know, well, you know, I got about 3 or 4. Now, see, that's, now, is that exaggerating or is that lying? Because it sounds like you lying to me. It sounds like you lying. So now you stretching the truth. So now he's using the term over exaggerating. So that means I'm going to take my exaggeration and I'm going to put some stank on it. I'm just going to put some extra stuff on it and say, hey, this is what we're doing. I'm a little confused about that, about the term. Let me see what this says. I'm not sure why the need to lie about the events anyway. It's ridiculous. Exactly, because now what we found out was, had he just told the truth, and this was a simple thing. Apparently, this is all that happened. I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. They was drunk. They needed to use the bathroom. The bathroom was locked. They couldn't get in the bathroom, so they started kicking at the door of the bathroom. So they couldn't get in. They got mad. Ryan Lochte tore a sign, a poster or something off the wall, not some type of picture, but a poster. He tore a poster off the wall, and they peed on the outside of this establishment, gas station, corner store, whatever it was. They peed on the side of the thing, and then they went and got in the car. When they went to get in the car, not security guards, we're now hearing, because I heard the report this morning, it was an off-duty correctional officer who was watching, who was in the store, and the store owner pointed to the camera, to the screens in the store, and said, hey, can you go out there and say something to those guys? So this guy went out there with his badge, a correctional officer, meaning on the street you have no power. Can I make that clear? Correctional officers' power only exists when they are in the jail or on jail property. When they are on the street, they are an average citizen. I don't care if it's Rio or whatever, that's just what it is. So he comes out, flashes his badge, points his gun, and tells them they now have to pay for the damage of the poster. That's all the damage that was done. Now, yes, he said he was drunk, and all he remembers was the gun being pointed in his face, blah, 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 blah. Okay, the video does show that the correctional officer did pull his gun, and then he demanded money. Now, what was the money for? The money was the money just to replace the poster, because there was no damage. According to the ESPN reported, there was no physical damage done to that place. Nothing other than the poster being ripped off the wall. But the story is coming back to tell us that there's some $300-$400, almost up to $1,000, that was taken from them in cash that night. So the question is, were they robbed? Were they just paying a fine, or were they extorted? That's the question. That's the question. But no, he did not have to lie about the situation. And a lot of times, you know, you get caught up, and I guess he didn't, you know, and then even after the fact, the next day, you know, he instead of him saying, you know what, hold on, I kind of overblew this, it's not as bad as it is. Now you get on TV, and everybody is supporting you. That's a problem. So now word came down right before I got in the studio that he has lost his endorsement deal. He had a $1 million endorsement deal with Speedo. So he had a $1 million endorsement deal with Speedo. Speedo said today that they released him. So he's lost that money. And then on the Ralph Lauren. Ralph Lauren spokesperson. His pictures have been pulled from all of the Ralph Lauren websites. So I don't know if he's lost the deal yet, but the fallout is coming. The fallout is coming. All because you got drunk and got mad that you couldn't go to the bathroom, and now you done cost yourself. I'm telling you this from experience. We don't think about the after effect of our immediate action. We don't think about the after effect of our immediate action. As we get older, we learn we don't have to respond to everything. But we don't think about the immediate reaction or jumping off or flying off the handle. I have been one, and, you know, my story is well documented. I have been one who has flown off the handle on many of occasions. And all it does is damage you, because the person you're flying off the handle with doesn't lose a night of sleep. Can I say that again? The person you're flying off the handle with, the people you get mad at and that you end up cursing out publicly or whatever happens, they don't lose a night of sleep. But you, on the other hand, your reputation gets tarnished. As Pastor Williams always tells us, he's like, if you don't do nothing else, guard your character. Guard your character, because your character is just like your credit. When you damage it, takes a long time to rebuild it. And you can rebuild credit for years and build up on good credit, and all it takes is one good incident to kill your credit or your credibility. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. I don't care how wonderful the preacher you are, how wonderful a singer you are, how wonderful a teacher you are. All it takes is one slip that's then put out publicly about you, and you're done. You're pretty much done. Now, here is the thing. If God puts you in a place, I firmly believe this. If God puts you in a place, he can restore you. Now, does that mean you still won't have naysayers who will always throw something up back up in your face when you get ready to do something? Absolutely you will. And that's part of the burden that you have to carry for your reaction. Look at David in the Bible. Look at David. He let Bathsheba. He saw that woman. He was out there on the roof, and he looked down, and he saw that sister across the hall, across the way over there on top of the roof, taking a bath, and lost his mind. And that one decision set loose a chain of events that caused David to lose a lot. Caused him to lose a lot. That firstborn son lost because of his one thing that he did. Then everything else that came, all the other stuff that happened after that. Look at Moses. Moses is still listed in the Bible as one of the, you know, if they had like a big four, he's in that list. But Moses, because of his, all of the goodness, all the good that Moses did for the Lord, getting the people out of Egypt, taking them across through the River Jordan, parting the Red Sea, and all the stuff he went through. And he gets over there and he lets the people, watch this now, he let the people frustrate him. And when God told him, Moses, just touch the rock with your staff. Let me tell you what Moses did, because Moses had what I like to call, I guess I'm going to start, I can't call it a Dana reaction because Dana wasn't around. But I know what it's like to have a Moses moment, because Moses was tired. Moses been dealing with these folk and all of their foolishness, and the right one came and said something to Moses at the right time. I mean, all the stars aligned, and they caught him. And God said, look here. Moses said, look here, God. These folks is thirsty. And look, God said, Moses, just go and touch the rock to get some water. Go touch the rock. What did Moses do? He looked at them Negroes around him, and he said, you know what? I'm sick of these Negroes. And he smote the rock. That's what the Bible says, smote. I like that word, smote. He hit the rock, struck it, and the water came out. And guess what? When they saw Moses do it, this is what happens. He took God's glory in that instance. In that instance, in the eyes of the people, Moses was the one with the power. And God said, I share my glory with no man. And for that one decision, after everything Moses did right, he was denied the right to go into the promised land. One decision. He was denied the right to go into the promised land. And you might say, man, that's a little harsh. So we need to take this Ryan Lochte story. It could be a Bible teaching moment, because one decision can cost you everything. Can cost you everything. Because think about the way Moses did it. It's not something that Moses did in secret. This was a public display. Moses might as well have been on Facebook Live, right? Just, you know, he might as well have been on Facebook Live and did it in front of a million folks and did it. Because that's exactly how it spread. Because as soon as he did it, you know what happened in the crowd. They said, hey, look, Moses hit the rock and the rock broke open and now we got water to drink. Thank you for Moses. Oh, no, 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 no. So God said, oh, no, no, Moses, because of your anger, because of your disobedience, there's going to be a price to pay. So now, and I'm sorry, make sure I get this right. God told Moses, let me make sure, because I don't want my Bible people to jump on me. He didn't tell him to touch the, God told Moses to speak to the rock. Speak to it, not even touch it. He told him to speak to it, but Moses was mad. He was mad. And it's real. Some people go, why would God be so harsh on Moses? If Moses was God's man, why would he be so harsh on him? And it's crazy. It's one of those things where you look at it and he told him to do what he told. He asked him what to do, and he told Moses to speak to the rock. But this is where I like what the God says. He says, God tells Moses, he says, but because of just this one thing, God tells Moses, you will no longer be permitted to bring the people into the promised land. Being disobedient will cost you. It will cost you. In this case, Ryan Lochte, the swimmer, is costing him every endorsement he has almost. It's costing him every endorsement for one simple mistake. Now, it doesn't mean that you still can't be forgiven. God still forgives. But you can't. But here's the deal. God doesn't reward disobedience. Moses was still rewarded for everything else that he did. But this one reward that Moses had earned a right to was taken from him because of his act of disobedience. And think about this. Moses had made it all the way through. I mean, got all the way to the finish line. He had made it all the way through. And then all of a sudden you see, guess what? Because of that, he was denied the right and the opportunity to go forward. So it's just, you know what I mean, we got to do a better job. We got to do a better job of controlling our tempers, because our tempers can get the best of us. And trust me, I speak from experience. I ain't telling y'all nothing I don't know for myself. I'm just telling y'all, I ain't telling you nothing I don't know for myself. So, man, so look, yeah, so that's that, man. So look here, y'all. We're going to take a quick break. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Yeah, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to come back, and, man, when we come back, we're going to jump on into some more conversation, and then we're going to move right on into this article. Let me give y'all a little bit of this old school, God is in control. We'll be right back, y'all. GTLO. sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. God.
What?
Control. That's it. God is in control. We have to keep that in mind, man. Look, we have to keep that in mind. He is absolutely in control. And once we recognize that, man, we'd be better for it. Just simply recognizing who God is in our lives. Once we recognize that, man, then, you know, sky's the limit at that point on what we can do when we recognize that he truly is in control and that he's in the head of our lives. Man, that's just good, and gooder, as they say. So, look, y'all, I heard a startling number on the news as I was preparing to come to the studio, and it messed me up when I heard it because I really wasn't ready. You know, we have all these shootings in the city and all this stuff going on, and I was watching the news, and I was not at all prepared for this number that was released. They said that in this year alone, there have been 27 children shot under the age of 13. 27 children have been shot in our city this year under the age of 13. And I literally paused. I paused where I was. Let me tell you this. I was on time this morning. I was on time. I was dressed. I was ready to go. And I had the news on. I was just about, you know, running my routine. My alarm goes off at 11:15. Let me know that's what time I need to be in my car, out the door, on my way here. I'm good. I literally had to stop in my tracks because I said, wait a minute. I said, is that right? I went back to the TV. I hit the rewind button on the DVR. And I said, I need to hear this again. And the reporter said, 27 children under the age of 13 have been shot in the city of Chicago. And when I all I could do was sit down in the seat and pray. That's all I could do. Because I said, wait a minute. You know, I mean, we've gotten so immune to the violence and just listening to the news. And I talked to people all yesterday. They don't even want to watch the news anymore. Because the first thing come out is now, the first thing you hear is, now I know why I don't watch the news. But 27 children in the city of Chicago this year under the age of 13 have been shot. I heard that and I was stunned. I was stunned. Because I just could not believe that to be true. Now, I read the other stuff about the other shootings, but that just stuck out for me. Because I said, wait a minute. There's got to be something. And it's like, well, what needs to happen with us for us to recognize that we actually have, God has given us the power to do this, to fix this. He really has. He really has. He's giving us the power to do this. I was watching this morning. I was watching as I was preparing for the show. A friend of mine on Facebook posted a Louis Farrakhan video, and I believe it was from 2014. And it was Louis Farrakhan talking, giving a speech, and he was talking about how we complain about the police killing people and everything else. But he says, he made this famous, he used a quote from Jesse Jackson. And y'all know I rarely, if ever, gonna quote Jesse Jackson. But he says in a conversation he was having with Jesse Jackson, I'm sorry, it's from August 2014 is what this says, but I believe it was dated November 2007. But I'll reshare the video with you guys shortly. He made this comment, and David, if you're listening, I know David, you normally watch on Ustream. If you could send me the information, just open up the chat box. I believe that's probably you on Ustream. But In his comments, he said, he was speaking with Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson made this comment. He says, walking in the black neighborhood, he says, I hear footsteps coming behind me, and they're walking really fast. I get nervous. And he says, I turn around, and I see that they're white folks, and instantly I'm no longer afraid. Don't miss that. He says, walking in the black neighborhood, I hear fast footsteps coming up behind me. He says, so I start to, my heart starts to beat a little fast. I turn around to see who's coming, and I see that they're white folks. And instantly, I calm down. And Louis Farrakhan went on to say, because the enemy that we want to fight are the police for their one or, their one or two individual killings. And he says, we march when they do stuff to us. But where is our march to handle our own stuff? And no, I'm not, I'm not going to talk about in this instance, and I'm going to move on, but I'm not going to talk about the police killing us, because that's not the topic right now. But where is the anger and the protest in the community that's killing each other, where we're shooting ourselves, we're killing our children, we're killing our young men, we're killing our babies, but yet we don't march and protest against that? Because, see, yeah, we can march down to 35th and Michigan to the police headquarters, and we can protest, and we can have prayer vigils, and we can say we demand these changes. But where is the same protest and the same rally in the city of Chicago by us marching on us? How do you – because we are our own worst enemy right now. Let's just be real about this. I ain't gonna sugarcoat it. You can get mad. This ain't got nothing to do with Black Lives Matter or none of that. I'm talking about, why are we not policing ourselves? We know who's doing the shooting. Guess what? They live in the building with you. Hell, some of them live in your house with you. Some of them live down the street from you. Some of them go to church with you. They mamas go to church with you. They kids go to school with your kids. You know who they are, and you don't say nothing. We know who they are, and we don't say nothing. It's easy to get mad. It's an easy target when it's the police that's doing the shooting. But where the hell is your anger when it's you doing the shooting and it's us killing us every other day? They shot a baby. Two kids got shot yesterday. Where is the anger and the disposition change on us doing what we're doing to ourselves? Can I give you a prime example on how little bitty things make a difference? On my way here today, I was on Central, and I'm behind a black lady in a car. And she's on Central, and I'm at the stop sign, wherever that little grammar school is, right there. I don't know the name of the school, but it's the last stop sign before you get to Madison Street going north. She's in front of me. She opens her car door and dumps out her Subway lunch bag. It was a Subway bag. She didn't just take the bag and throw it out the window, which is wrong still. She dumped it out and then threw the bag out, closed her door, and drove off. Now you say to me, Dana, well, what that got to do with folks killing folks? When you don't care about your community, if you don't – help me, Lord. If you don't give a damn about whether or not your community is clean, then you sure ain't going to care about who's shooting who. You don't care because you have no thought process of ownership. So I saw that and I go, wow. But then if they don't come clean the street, you'll get an attitude. When they don't come shovel quick enough down the neighborhood block, you get an attitude, but yet you won't clean up. But will you dump that stuff in front of your own house? if you even own a house. I just really would love to have a conversation because you go because it points out a larger issue. Yes, it's a real small thing, but it does matter. Because if you don't care about your community, why should anybody else care? So you can go to march at the police all day long, and I'll be at the march. I'll march when they ask, when they say, Dana, you coming? Yes, I'll be there. But here's the problem. You go marching there. You know, it's just like, it was. Oh, my God. Remember the Gen of Six? Was that in Alabama? Was that in Alabama, Mississippi? Alabama, right? It was down south. And everybody went down there because of them six folks and, you know, the people that they got that was wrongly prosecuted and all that stuff happened. But you had all these different factions going down there. Al Sharpton had a group. Jesse Jackson had a group. These other people had a group. And their groups were arguing. Uh-huh. So why then should you be taken seriously when you have no unity amongst yourselves? Because if we were unified, we could go to the neighbor or we could go to the building owner who's allowing the drug dealer. Uh-huh. And then you can take it a step further. You can go to the bank that holds the mortgage of the drug dealer and say, hey, that building, that house, that property is a blight on the community. Because I guarantee you this, let 200-300 black folks walk into a Chase Bank. Stay with me now. What? Let 200-300 black folks walk into a Harris Bank. Let 200-300 black folks walk into a Bank of America. Let 200-300 black folks walk into some of these banks that's holding these mortgages, these titles on these houses, and start protesting that you're not handling that this piece of property that you still own. Because until the mortgage is paid, baby, let me help you out. The bank still own that house. Huh? So see, you have to take it to that level and say, because you're not keeping up your end of the deal, you're allowing this to happen. Now, all of a sudden, if you show up unified, guess what's going to happen? Now you start putting pressure on the bank. They're going to turn around and put pressure on the homeowner. That's going to put pressure on the insurance company that's got to pay for the house. That company that's insuring the house, they don't want no mess, because now you're going to say, hey, guess what? If some mess happens and it happens because of what's going on your property, everybody getting sued. You think I'm lying? Trust me. The very house next door to my mother was vacant for years, and Negroes, and yes, I said Negroes were selling drugs out the house. They lived across the street, and they were using the house as a drug stash. And I was standing on the porch, and the guy made eye contact with me when he went into the house, and he made eye contact when I came out and walked back across the street and said, bruh, you got a problem, man, with what we doing? Because, you know, we could just stop it. We could do, you know, we ain't got to do it right now. You know, we could wait. No, bruh, how about you don't do it at all next door to my mama? Well, man, you know, I'm just out there. I said, don't worry about it, Doc. Ain't no problem. Go ahead and do what you're doing because it'll be over with no time. I immediately had a friend of mine pull up the title information on the house. Found out which bank owned that abandoned house at the time. Called the bank. Bank then said, what? I said, guess what? This is y'all's property that is not properly boarded up. It's not properly fenced in. And it's being used for a drug house. And if anything, these are my exact words, if anything happened to my mom and her property because of your lack of care for that property, trust me, it's going to be a problem. You won't know what happened. About 3 days later, they came out and boarded up all that, put a brand new gate, locks on the door, everything. You couldn't get in there. You couldn't get in there no more. Guess what else they did? After I made that call, all of a sudden, the house across the street got raided. Ain't nobody got time for that. But when you sit quiet and don't say nothing, and then you wonder why they drive up and down your block, driving in and out of parking spaces. What is that mess? You wonder why they speeding down your block, because don't nobody say nothing. Because, well, you know, it's is that's just what they do. No, that's not what, no. That's what you allow them to do. Because just like somebody asked me the question, it don't, you can't do it in no park. You can't swerve in and out of parking spaces in Oak Park. Guess what? Once you get your behind past the United Center, you can't go in and out of parking spaces up there either. Because somebody going to say something and your behind going to get pulled over and locked up. It's time out for our children to keep being killed because we're silent about what's going on. It's time out for that. Doesn't work, man. That don't work. Anybody got time for that? None at all. None at all. None at all. It's just time we just move and let that go. The priest, yeah, that. Thank you, Oscar the priest. That's, thank you so much. That's the school. It's just insane. And we don't do anything. We don't say nothing to change it or any of that. Anything. But we the first ones to complain. I'm tired of the shooting. I'm tired of the shooting over here. Okay. But you know what house they shooting at. And you know why they're shooting at that house, right? They don't just shoot at random houses. They're shooting at the house for one or two reasons. Either what's in the house or who's in the house. If they're shooting for what's in the house, it's because you got some illegal material in the house. If they're shooting at who's in the house, whoever's in the house is doing something illegal on the outside. They ain't just shooting up random houses. So let's stop being ignorant to what's really going on. They don't shoot up random houses. It just doesn't happen. We'll be right back, y'all. PTLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. Hey, look, real quick, I'm going to jump right into this article. If you got a comment or something, you know, feel free to send it in, email it, whatever. Email me your comments, takinglimitsoff@comcast.net. The chat room is open on Ustream. The chat box is open on Facebook Live. I'm here. Let me read some of the comments so far. One wrong decision. I guess it's back to the previous conversation. One wrong decision can alter your life forever. Another comment. Decisions come with consequences, both good and bad. Absolutely. And the last one. You don't get a pass to kill innocent people just because you're black and poor. Absolutely, you don't get a pass. And I'm sick of hearing that excuse. Folks killing each other because ain't no jobs. That just sounds dumb as hell. I don't care what you say to me. No. Now, I understand the larger picture. You're saying that because of lack of jobs, people are then being creative and creating their own illegal sources of income. Thus, that illegal source of income then turns into violence. I understand that. However, there are jobs. McDonald's is hiring every day. Walmart and Target are hiring every day. Walgreens even lifted their ban on hiring nonviolent felons. So don't tell me there are no jobs. The problem is this. Have you disqualified yourself from the workforce? Because let me help you out with something. If you're selling drugs, you've been caught with a gun, you've done all this stupid stuff, and I ain't saying getting caught with a joint. I'm talking about selling some drugs, some crack, and all that stuff. You've been caught selling all this mess, and now you want to turn around and say, well, I can't get a job. The system won't let me get a job. Okay, first of all, you disqualified yourself from getting a job. So let's change this. Let's shift the paradigm on saying that I can't get a job because the system won't allow it. No, 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 no. We talked about there's this word. I really want to make this the word. It's too late to make it the word of the year. But for the rest of this year, there's a word. There is a word. It's called ownership. It's called ownership. We always talking about buying property and owning this. Let's talk about ownership. Taking ownership for what you do or don't do. Ownership is the word. Own it. Own it. You're right. You need at least a GED and pass a drug test. And right, you want a job, but you can't stop smoking weed long enough to pass long enough to pee in a cup. But I can't get no job. You don't even have a functional resume, but you can be on Facebook all day. But you ain't got a functional resume, but you want a job. And then you're going to be in this list of folks. Well, I can't get a job because. Give me the real reason. I don't want to hear that mess. I might want to hear that. It's not fathomable to me that you can sit there and say, this is the reason we're not working. Because if you really think the system is the reason you ain't got no job, then go ahead and vote for crazy. Because y'all did hear crazy, right, over the weekend. Donald, when he was addressing the all-white crowd. Notice he was addressing the all-white crowd when he made these comments. Because had this been a black crowd, because he can he get a black crowd together? But had this been a black crowd and he made this comment, 58% of y'all are unemployed, your schools suck, your job sucks, your bank account sucks, so he's like, what else you going to do? You might as well vote for me. That's what he said. That's what he said. And I cleaned it up a little bit because I didn't have the exact quote in front of me. But that's pretty much what he said. So he's like, you know, you bet all voting for him because supposedly he going to fix it. And then he went on to say 4 years from now, he will have 95% of the black vote. This is what Donald Trump said, y'all. 4 years from now, he'll have 95% of the black vote. Let me tell you something. If you make your vote valuable, you then become invaluable. If you make your vote, how do you make your vote valuable? You have a unified front of people. You know why, let me say this, and I'm going to move on, and I'm going to talk about this article. You know why the homosexual agenda got so much power behind it when it came to the election? Because they unified on this one cause. They said, y'all going to give us some rights. Y'all going to give us some Medicare. Y'all going to let us get married. And if you don't, it's enough of us around that our votes can change the political movement, that our votes can change the trajectory of politics. That's because they got unified on one goal. What would happen if black folk could just unify on one or two items? To say, you know what? We want better schools. We want better schools. And the one way we're going to do it is not for the teachers to go on strike, but it's for the parents to demand it. Because, see, the teachers are only striking for so long, and they ain't striking necessarily for better schools. I know I'm going to get in trouble with some teachers. But they ain't striking necessarily for better schools. They striking for better money and better pay. And I understand that. I ain't finna get on that conversation. However, if the parents got together, don't team up with the Chicago Teachers Union, because that's a mess in itself. Don't team up with CPS, because that's a mess in itself. I'm talking about just the parents rallying. You know, good old PTA? Get you some parents together and just mount up and say, you know what? We demand better schools. And own the fact own your part of not of the schools being the way they are. Own your part in your children not knowing the basics when they come to school. Own it. Own it. That you send your five-year-old to school and he don't know how to write. You send him to school in kindergarten and first grade and he still can't even write his letters, his alphabet. That ain't the teacher's fault. That's your fault. While you buying the latest Grand Theft Auto, you need to be buying some dang on flashcards. Don't get me started. Y'all buying Jordans and he can't read. Huh? He got every pair of Air Force Ones, but he can't even spell his name on the paper between the lines. But he got some Air Force Ones. Can he write Air Force One on the paper? Can he at least do that? Huh? On a ship. Your kid's going to school with some $200 what's them jeans? Robin's jeans, some $150 Air Force Ones, a True Religion t-shirt, book bag that costs $100, and he can't write his whole name out. Because you done gave him a name, first of all, that can't nobody spell. Because you done told him your name going to be Don Trevavion.
Right, exactly. Can't spell that. Can't spell that. Can't. No. No.
Take ownership. I know you ain't supposed to, I know that you aren't supposed to discriminate when it comes to resumes. But look, can I help y'all with something, parents, who keep giving y'all kids these crazy names? How do you think recruiters look when they go to look at the resume? And when they go to pull up the resume, they can't pronounce the name on the resume. Huh? Because his name is Octrell Tavion. What? You heard me. Kid's name Dante Nuvo. What? What's what? Huh? What is that? Ownership. You scarring that kid for life. Now unless he got a jump shot out of this world, or he can run the 40 in 4.2 and go into the NFL, let's keep them names for them people, for the athletes. Because the little, because I read what's the Black Business Weekly and all those type of magazines. I ain't seen none of the presidents in there with Octavion as his name. I ain't seen Dr. Octavion Smith on nothing. I ain't saying it ain't possible. Please don't think I'm saying it ain't possible. But you kind of you're putting some extra burdens on your kids when you throw them old ignorant names on their stuff. You just put some extra stuff on there. I know y'all don't like the old plain old names. You know, y'all tired of the John and y'all done went through all the biblical names, you know, but man, I mean, come on. Ain't nothing like, you know, y'all can come on, get, you know, go back old school. Let's just start over. You know, can we start with a Matthew and a John, a Peter, you know, Paul? Now, although that was supposed to be my name, so grateful that didn't happen. But I'm just saying, let's move on. We got this article, y'all. We got this article. Y'all knew I was just going to take it too far. It was going left. We got this great article. Oh, my. We got this great article, and it's good. It is really good. It's simply entitled, Missions Don't Have to Be Extraordinary. Missions don't have to be extraordinary. It is good stuff. It is really, really good. And I want you to make sure you pay attention to it because there's a lot of people who have misconceptions when it comes to missions. And I think we need to recognize that they don't have to be extraordinary. Everything doesn't have to go overseas. So let's talk about it. It's on churchleaders.com. Let me do this real quick. Make sure everybody has it. For those of you guys on Facebook Live, let me make sure I give it to you briefly. Come on, computer. Be nice to me. There we go.
Let me give it to y'all over here on Ustream. Let me give it to you. Give it to you. So you have the article we're about to talk about here. There we go. All right, y'all got it? Good. Everybody's got it. All right, we all got it, right? Okay, there it is over there. And over here on Ustream, there y'all go. All right, so y'all got it. There's the article. So the writer says this, and the writer is, this is good. Come on. The writer is Ben Conley. It's on churchleaders.com. It's under articles for outreach and missions. It says, there is a great, make sure I'm on the right page. Yes, I am. It says, there is a great appeal in pursuing exotic or extraordinary mission. But the Bible calls us to look a little closer as we live out Jesus' mission, those in need and our neighbors. Africa, two or three voices rang out, then it was silent. He says, I just had a couple of hundred folk in Sunday service. What do you think of when you think of missions? And the one lone response was Africa. And you're right. That's the first thing that comes to mind, Africa. He says, anything else? More silence. The exact same interchange happened at the second service. Different people, but exactly the same question, single answer, same follow-up, same silence. Missions equal Africa exclusively. He says, there are two sides of the same coin. He says, there's a great appeal in pursuing the extraordinary, in the literal sense, outside the ordinary when it comes to mission. That's why Africa is an easy thought. It's glamorous. It makes for great stories, and the impact can be tangible, even measurable. But he watched this. He says, but closer than Africa, the Bible displays two primary groups of people that God sends us to as we live out his mission. Those in need and our neighbors. Those in need and our neighbors. Can we talk about it just for a second? There is still a need to dig wells in Africa. Right? There is still a need to dig wells in Africa. There are certain villages in Africa that still don't have access to running water. So there is a need to still dig wells in Africa. Right? We all agree with that, right? We good? We all agree with that. There is a need. Okay. But here is the situation. In Flint, Michigan, there is still a need for water. Now, I'm not saying you have to take one precedent over the other, but it's going to cost me thousands of dollars to even try to put a team together and then tens of thousands of dollars to put people on a plane, partner with somebody to get in Africa, and then spend even more money to dig one well in Africa. I'm not saying it doesn't still need to be done. But then let me go to Flint, Michigan. Water issue right next door to us. So we could take the same resources and go to where our neighbors are who are in and who have a need just as almost as not, no, they're not in a drought. But they have a need. Why would you not go service them? Of course, Africa is extraordinary. Going to Africa and doing that. And like you said, it's great stories. But guess what? When we went to Flint and took that water, we have a great story. We have a great story. Everybody that I know that has still going to Flint, shout out to Reverend Cliff Williams from First Baptist and his global outreach group. They have been to Flint nine times. They've been five times since the show went. Five more times. They got a routine to this thing. They just drive up there. They get a truck when they get there. They go pick up the water and deliver it when they get there. So I understand that the overseas missions have the shine. You know, they're big. That's where all the shine is. But you cannot overlook the immediate need. It's just like if you got a food pantry. I understand you have a food pantry in your church, and a lot of churches that have food pantries that are quote-unquote financed or sponsored by the state or the city or the county or whatever, they have rules. Our food pantry here states that you can only come twice a month. That's once every 2 weeks. Unless there is a fifth Friday, then you can come again. It don't count. It don't matter. However, if somebody in your church is hungry, they shouldn't have to wait until Friday, stay with me now, to eat. Come on. See what I'm saying? Immediate need. Immediate need. So you don't have to always go for the big project when there's an immediate need. Because, see, you want to get the shine. Because watch this. How wonderful do you look that you spend your church spends $20,000 to send two of y'all to Africa or three of y'all to Africa to dig a well and to do this so that people can get running water and all that stuff. But then in the very community your church is in, people are starving. Can we bring it closer to home? How wonderful is if you to host a food pantry in your church once a week, but in your very congregation, people are hungry. So you want to tell me, yes, I understand that the food pantry can only get food on Friday. So what you're telling me is, if my situation is so bad, I got to wait until Friday to eat from you. You can't help me out till Friday. And hopefully I'm on the right week. Because otherwise, I got to wait till the following Friday. That's not mission. That's not mission. That's not mission at all. It don't work for nobody. Does not work, y'all. Let's keep going. The writer says, Jesus' brother James sums up both well. He says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. James 1:27. Then he says, and a few verses later, if you really fulfill royal law according to scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. The writer says, it seems that many Christians often have an easier time with one of those commands or the other. We'll pursue neighbors at the expense of those in need, or those in need at the expense of our neighbors. Or if we're really honest, the writer says, some of us are uncomfortable or scared of mission altogether, so we pursue neither. Watch this. Easier to deal with the folk on the outside that are hungry, because guess what? See, they're only going to come and then they're going home, than it is to deal with the folk in your church. So I like what he says. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. So you just can't be inwardly focused, or you could be the church, rather, that's inwardly focused, and you only focus on the folk inside your church when everything around your church is going to hell. That's not missional. That's not having a missional mindset. What that is that's intentionally ignoring the need of the people. We use that word intentionality. When the community around you is suffering, and you know it's suffering, and you don't do anything to try to alleviate that suffering, then you are intentionally contributing to the suffering. That's not missional. That's not evangelical. That's not evangelism. None of it is. You're missing it every time because you're so inwardly focused. And we got a lot of churches that are inwardly focused. Now, don't get me wrong. We still got some churches that are outwardly focused. But you can't be so outwardly focused either that you forget home, that you forget the folk in the house that's hungry too. So there has to be a balance there. There has to be a balance. The writer says this. He says, the problem is that God doesn't make these distinctions. From Genesis to Revelation, God uses his ordinary people in his work of redeeming other ordinary people. He says, wherever we live, we have an everyday mission field. Wherever we live, We have an everyday mission field comprised of both our neighbors and those in need. But living on a mission in each of those groups takes a different types of, here's that word again, intentionality. Two different types. Let's go, y'all. This is good. He says, it's hard to love our neighbors. Ooh. It's hard to love our neighbors. My God. This is what the writer says. The gospel is divisive, as the saying goes. Never talk about religion or politics. Many relationships change when faith enters a conversation. Our client might be offended and find a new provider. That classmate might think we're weird and sit next to someone else the next day. He says, or our neighbor might vacate his half-mowed lawn and scurry away until you go back inside. In fact, God promises responses like this. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's 1 Corinthians 1:18. That's good. That's good. I'll read it again. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 1:18. My. It is difficult. It is difficult sometimes for you to talk about the things, about needy or necessary things with your neighbor when you know they're struggling. Because here's the deal. Sometimes they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. The writer goes on, he says this. It's even more difficult if we've lived near or worked with someone for many years. Love your neighbor Sundays, he says. He says, worshiping God by throwing block parties, inviting others over, pulling out grills, baking cookies for hermits and so forth. He says, after living next to their neighbors for a decade, one couple was embarrassed when their first Love Your Neighbor Sunday came around. The extent of the relationship was a what's up, a nod exchange between the men as they got in their cars every morning. He says, oh, this is good. The couple worked through their fears and shame. And their first act of loving their neighbors was ringing the doorbell, armed with cookies and wine, and repenting. Uh-oh. Y'all see that? If y'all follow me on this verse, I know y'all probably saw this part right here because I just touched all y'all because I know my listeners. He says, the first act of loving their neighbors was ringing the doorbell, watch this, armed with what? Cookies. And with what? Wine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought I'd read that again. He says, and repenting. We've lived next to you for years, but we don't even know you. We'd like to be better neighbors. Will you give us a chance? Today, they have a regular conversation and even talk about faith. And that first step wasn't extraordinary, but it was hard. Mission to neighbors is difficult. Think about this. You've lived in places for years, and some of us don't even know the names of the people who live on either side of us. Don't even know the names of the people who live on either side of you. And, you know, you might not think it's a big deal, but it is. It really is. It really is. You should know who your neighbors are. You should know who you share airspace with. It's like living in a building and you park in the same parking spot and the person who parks next to you and y'all are getting in y'all cars at the same time every morning or you come home around the same time every evening and all you do is nod. Hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing? That's it. I don't know your name. I don't know anything about you. And you park next to me every day. But here is how this can change some stuff. When I used to work downtown, I used to park behind the building where the company was, and next to the spot were other cars. It's like eight parking spots back there. So I would park in the company parking spot, and there was a company to the left of me that was Empowerment, and to the other side of me was Arrow something next to me. But the guy who parked next to me was in a green truck. Never knew his name up until about 2 or 3 years ago, but he parked next to me all the time. And it just so happened one day we were trying to leave work and all of our cars were blocked in. because they were doing some work in the alley. And that time forced us to talk because we couldn't go nowhere. We were stuck. We couldn't get out. It forced us to talk. Now, it shouldn't have taken that, but guess what happened? The guy that was to the left of me, he's married. His name is Jonah. He had a wife, two kids, and a really, really, really nice car that he never drove to the office because he said it always somebody was scratching. The guy that parked to the right of me, his name was William. He had been working downtown for 35 years. How do I know that? Because we started conversations based off of that one encounter we had in the alley. Mind you, we had parked next to each other for years. So even, watch this, I would see them prior to that conversation. I would go out to get me something to eat. They would be walking up the street, one coming from one way or the other way. We would see each other. Sometimes we would speak. Sometimes we wouldn't. Because we just knew each other by faith, and we could not, because we didn't know anybody's name. Fast forward, after that conversation, if I'm walking down Clinton, see one of them, hey, how you doing, Dana? Hey, what's up, Jonah? How you doing, man? What's good? Hey, what's up, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I didn't see you a couple days. Yeah, I was off for the conversation. So now you're now opening the door to open up for more conversation. That's what real mission work is, y'all. It's real conversation. That's how evangelism starts. You ain't got to do nothing extraordinary. But you do have to have the conversation. You do have to have the conversation. It's good stuff, y'all. It's good stuff. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. The next point he says, it's hard to love those in need. It's hard to love those in need. I love it. I love it. He says this. This is what the writer says, if I can get it back up on my screen. Thank you very much. He says this. Loving those in need is equally difficult because it often asks us to go out of our way. Unless we work in certain jobs, it's unlikely that we spend regular quality time hanging out with an orphan, or tutoring underprivileged kids, playing games at a nursing home, or visiting hospitals or prisons. Jesus calls similar people the least of these, my brother, Matthew 25 and 40. He says, too often we consider the first half of that label while missing the second half. To society and likely even to many of us, widows, orphans, prisoners, the elderly, the sick, the homeless, prostitutes, and refugees are the least. They may be low income, less clean, and lost in many senses of the word, but Jesus also calls them my brothers. Ah, see, and you know what? He's absolutely right. I love this because it makes you think about your Bible reading. You've often heard this scripture quoted about the least of these, you know, giving to the least of these. And that's all you ever hear is the part about the least of these. We rarely get to the part where he says, the scripture says this. This is I'm going to read to you the NIV. The king replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Brothers and sisters. So not just, yes, they are the least of them, but they are still brothers and sisters. So they're still related to you because of Christ. So we tend to label them the least of us, belittling them, but forgetting the fact that the Bible still says they are brothers and sisters of ours. That's Bible. That's Bible. So that's not, so we have to be, this is why you got to study. Because you can take that scripture and run with it, and you know what I'm giving to the least of these. Or you need to take care of the least. No, they're still your brothers. They're still your brothers and sisters in Christ. So we need to be very, very careful when we say that. He says this. They may be low income, less clean, and lost in many senses of the word, but Jesus also calls them my brothers. He says there's inherent worth in their neediness. There's dignity in that they're created in the same marred image of God as we are. Their physical condition reflects the spiritual condition of every human. We all need salvation. Oh, my God. That's good. That's good. The writer says, A far cry from an annual trip across the Atlantic, loving our neighbors is about demonstrating the gospel through normal relationships and rhythms of life where we naturally exist. He says, loving those in need often asks us to go out of our way, lay down our lives for the least of these, my brother, and depart from our natural rhythms to go into an area we don't naturally exist. For the sake of the gospel, he says, but the goal is God's mission is always the same, make disciples. It's the same regardless. So the writer closes with this. He says, which side do you pursue better? Who are the people God has sent you to? We can't ignore these ordinary mission fields because there are two groups of people to whom God has sent us every day. That's good, y'all. That's good. That's the article. That's it. That's good. So we need to be, we need to think rationally about our mission work. It's good to go and want to send food overseas. That's wonderful. And I'm not knocking anybody that does it. But don't do that and drive past 300-400 people that are hungry here. So we need to be careful when we're setting up these mission projects, because yes, those people are in third world countries. Yes, they are in need. But don't neglect your brother who's home with you, your neighbor, to go help the one that's in need, because they both have a need. They both are in want. So you have to be able to touch them both. You have to be able to touch them both. Look, y'all, it's been a very, very, man, I love this. It's been a good show. It's been good. Hopefully y'all got something out of this. And you know what? It is about getting out of your comfort zone. We got something huge coming up. That we're going to do here at the radio show, and it is missional related, and it is about going out and doing something with some people. Yeah, we went to Flint. We did that thing in Flint. But there is some stuff we can do here in Chicago. So we're still trying to work out the dynamics of it, the logistics of it, rather. We're going to put our heads together, the TTLO team and the KBC missions team. We're going to put our heads together, and we're going to come up with this great thing. I'll keep you all informed, because we're going to ask you all to help out if you can. But some stuff we want to do, especially before it gets cold in the city. So some stuff we want to do. So y'all, you know, keep listening, keep watching, keep following if you haven't already. And do me a favor real quick. If you go to Facebook page, right, if you go to the Taking the Limits Off Facebook page, you can go down. If you go, let me get that myself, because I can walk you through it if I go there myself. If you go to the Taking the Limits Off Facebook page, it's real easy to do, real easy to do. Go to the Taking the Limits Off Facebook page, right? Go down there. If you go to the part right underneath our logo where it says Taking the Limits Off with Danny Devine, that whole city logo landscape, right underneath that, if you haven't already liked the page, like it. But then right to the far right of that, there's a button that says more. Go down to the more port, hit the more button, and go to where it says invite your friends. And then you go and you just hit check all of your friends and invite them to follow the Taking the Limits Off Facebook page. Do that for me. Can y'all do that? Do that for me. Just do that for me if you can. Do that real quick and share the page, share the information. Because you all listen to this show every day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And you're getting the information, but this is your opportunity to be missional, because you have this information that's there that some of it you need, some of it you don't. But there could be someone else who needs to read these articles. There could be someone else who needs this information, and this is your way of sharing it. So I would appreciate it. I would. I think it would be good. Took this information and shared it via Facebook. You can do that. You can also go to my Minister King page. Do the same thing there. And share the information, share the quotes. It's good information. It's not about blowing up. It's not about getting the most likes, because that stuff ain't really important at the end of the day. God ain't going to ask me how many likes I had on my Facebook page. That is not something I'm going to be held accountable for. What I will be held accountable for, did you share my word with people? So this is an opportunity for you to do some evangelism by sharing the word. You can share the TTLO page. You can go to my Minister King page, and you can share the word from the Minister King page, because I give y'all some good stuff on there. Y'all be missing it, but y'all come on, get that. Anyway, man, look, y'all, it's been a good show. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for everything that you continue to do in our lives. God, you have been so wonderful to us. You have blessed us better than we could ever bless ourselves. And you've been better to us than we compete ourselves. God, we love you. We extol you. We lift your name on high simply for who you are. God, we ask that you would bless our city. God, we ask that you would protect our youth. God, we ask that those who are committing crimes, God, that you would shine a light so bright on them that they would have to change their ways or flee. Let me say that again. That you would shine your light so bright on them that they would either change their ways or flee. God, we know that you can do it, so we ask this prayer in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen. Look, y'all. It has been an absolutely wonderful show. I appreciate you guys so much for listening. I thank everybody for your comments on the Facebook Live page. I thank you for your comments on the Ustream page. I thank you for those of you who emailed in. Hopefully I didn't skip nobody's email today. If I did, it was not intentional. And for those of you who just follow along with everything that we do, we are blessed to have you as listeners, and hopefully we are feeding something and pouring something into your life. Y'all stay blessed. And again, if you're in the city of Chicago, if you're in the city of Chicago, keep your head on a swivel. TTLO, y'all be blessed.